Thank you for tuning in to this message from Kingdom Heirs International, headquarters located in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Okay, so the environment is set, the tone is set. Now, in order to move into the word, there's a couple things that I want to focus on. One would be a recap, like we have every Friday night, because it is so important that before we build, that we remember what's already been established, right? As Yahweh builds on what we know, we have to go back or we will miss the invitation that comes on a night like tonight if it's not being added to what's already established. So a recap, and then I also do want to read Dad's box as Gabe was speaking to it. So I'm going to do the recap first, and then I want to read over the house the words that Dad released about Mom, because there is something I want to make sure we don't miss. Okay?
And just to clarify,
get it.
The yes. part that I wanted you to read is the part before he was talking about me. I didn't mean that. Like, did you guys all see how to handle me?
No, that's not what
There's
we heard.
A part prior to that I was focusing on.
Well, that's not what I'm going to
focus
all on. No, there's something that I would like to focus on in addition to that. Okay? All right, so to recap last week, we have to go back even more a couple weeks prior. The reason for that is because we are moving. If we don't recognize movement in the word, how could we possibly be under movement itself?
Yeah.
Okay? So if you're struggling to remember last week or the week prior or the week before that, you may not be moving. Okay? Just something to be aware of. So refresh your memory and make sure that you're honoring what's already been. All right, so going back, what happened is the portion where movement began is what we were inserted into, and that very same word is what was brought about. You are no longer a civilian, you are a tactician, you are under a strategist, you move when he says move, and you stay when he says stay, okay? Also that night, what was released over us is, as you prepare to move through the wilderness, guided by his presence, know that you have already been given everything that you need. So if you start to question or doubt or accuse or blame or demand more or need more proof, you're already out of alignment.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, that set the tone for our movement overall. He's the strategist. He'll direct us. We're tacticians. Let's go. Okay? So we started moving. Since then, what we've been given, which is so incredible, is we've been given more and more understanding and tools as to what it looks like to sustain movement. Okay? So the word that came about being satisfied and dealing with cravings is because Yahweh doesn't want our movement to be outside of his. He also doesn't want it to be delayed. He doesn't want it to be hindered. And he doesn't want you to move outside of his presence.
Yeah.
Right? So he's dealing with, what is it that truly satisfies you outside of him, because those things are empty and they will keep you in a place of complacency where you're like, I'm moving, but you're actually stagnant.
Yeah.
That's what complacency does. It convinces us you're doing awesome. Look at all these revelations you're getting, when the truth is you're sitting on a revelation and you're not applying action, which means you're literally not moving.
Yeah.
Okay? So his presence is going and you're like, look at us move. And you're just sitting there while he's like, come on, right? So that is where we've been, and that has been the equipping we've received. And so as a people coming off of last Friday, where we were really preparing for tonight, because we're waiting to see Mom back, as she's been gone the last couple of weeks, and we get her voice tonight, and we get her hovering over a word, which I'm going to speak to more. But with last week, then, it was more of that what satisfies you, and what's keeping you from being able to sustain that movement that he's called us to. Right?
Yeah.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So tonight we came in having done the work over the last couple of weeks to truly practice being a people who are fully satisfied in him and him alone. We're addressing our cravings. We're dealing with the things or the systems that we find satisfaction in outside of him, so that we don't get pulled outside of that presence and become a people who wander aimlessly instead of wander in testing that shapes and that refines and positions us as tacticians. Okay? Okay, so with that recap, we are getting ready to move into tonight's word, building on all that has happened over the last handful of weeks, which if you look at it, we went from moving, then as soon as movement starts, there was what? What happened amongst the people?
Grumbling.
Grumbling comes in, right? He says, okay, guys, just be confident that my presence will never leave you and I will fully sustain and provide for you. Grumbling. Grumbling. Then from grumbling, we move into what?
Slandering.
Yeah.
Grumbling turns into slander. It turns into accusation. It turns into slander and accusation against the one who's actually leading and being the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of the actual provision outside of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Yahweh's literal mouthpiece is the one receiving the accusation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So now, where are we? Grumbling, slander, false report. Okay, there's some refinement going on. Is that pretty clear? We're learning from history instead of repeating it, hopefully. But that only can happen if we're doing the work to ensure we don't repeat, right? So tonight we're going to hear on the false report, and I want to read this vox because I believe there's going to be an invitation tonight in how to, well, I don't want to put too many words on it because I don't know exactly, but something along the lines of responding. I mean, as a people, we're having to learn how not to give a false report, right? Or what to do with that. If it's about our character refinement, we're being inserted into the portion, then that's what mom is being the mouthpiece for as a Moshe over the house to position us to not repeat this history.
Yeah.
Okay? So I want to read Dad's vox over us tonight, because I do want to make sure that we don't take the word, but also the seat, as familiar, especially as she has been gone for several weeks, has been sent for several weeks, and we get her back, that we would be positioned hungry, right? Ready to be satisfied by him and by what comes from that mouthpiece, instead of falling into a place where we're repeating history literally as the word's being released.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So Dad said, good morning, family. Looking forward to entering into divine time tonight in order to sit under the anointing and teaching of the mother of the house. There's a mantle in operation that has been resting on the house, and with it comes the responsibility on our part to recognize the manner in which we are to respond. How do we prepare to steward such weighty things of Yahweh? Remember, we are not designed for the Chronos system. Tonight we rehearse by intentionally entering Moedim time in order to seek the kingdom so we can walk more like him and be more readily recognized as those not of this world. Tonight, don't look at the mother of the house as simply mom, but view her as a daughter of the Most High, who is a divine portal connecting heaven and earth, through which we are not receiving a word, but a living word. Mm-hmm. That means that there is an invitation and a transaction that's available for you because it's alive. Just as you are alive, so is it alive. That's designed to implant itself in our spirits, and it requires activation on our part. What that means to me when I hear a word like that is I could miss it. If it requires awareness, ensuring that I don't make the seat common, that I recognize the fullness of the mantle, and that I respond and I activate it, it means that only I can control then if it's a transaction. Okay?
Yep, that's good.
Okay. So, we are ready, we're positioned, and we're recognizing the seat, and we're ready to receive under it.
I just want us to have the awareness before she releases the word that she's been gone, as Megan said, and it's been in a manner of, spiritually speaking, a position forward of us. Yeah. Like she's been sent out, and she's been observing things forward of our position. Mm-hmm. So by nature of that, we have to then be aware that she is aware of things or is operated in things that we're unaware of, that we don't yet operate in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it changes things when we view her that way as she releases a word that she's speaking tonight, and it's in regards to where the family is, but we have to be aware that she has a greater perspective than we do collectively as the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just want to read some characteristics of, has anybody, who has not heard the term forward observer? Is everybody familiar with that term?
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with that terminology, it's military terminology where they would literally send one person out forward of the, you know, or past enemy lines to make observations and come back and report for intelligence reasons. So I want to read some of the characteristics of somebody who takes that position, because you can assign those characteristics to where she has been in order for us to understand that her greater perspective carries a significance that we have to understand for where we're at now, and that helps us if we're questioning or we're still dealing with things within the smaller, relatively smaller perspective that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're trusting, right? And this goes with Yahweh as well. Obviously, we're trusting somebody with a greater perspective, even though we have no clue what that greater perspective is.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's somebody who's gone ahead and has seen those things, that's where we get our intelligence from. These are some of the characteristics. High physical fitness. I'm going to say that's a high level of spiritual fitness. Comfortable in extremely uncomfortable conditions. They know how to survive. Situational awareness. Strong attention to detail. Accurate decision making. Good orientation, navigation, observation and reporting skills. High level of proficiency when it comes to communication. Familiar with the things of the kingdom. These are all characteristics. Discipline, reliability, leadership. Clear communication, composure and emotional control. Resilience, mental toughness, good judgment. I mean, you could go on and on, but these are characteristics of somebody that is capable of going out on their own forward of their community or their unit or whatever you want to call it, and being able to occupy that type of assignment and fulfill that type of assignment. And because she's characterized by those things, our family can then send her out to have a greater perspective of what Yahweh's doing than we have as a community.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to say that because I think that helps us to not fall into the trap of making something common.
Yeah.
Because in the context of an actual forward observer, the whole unit is dependent upon that one person and their greater perspective for their movements that they're going to act upon. And so as the family, as we as a community move forward, our community movements and our covenant objectives are dependent upon the greater perspective that she is coming in and releasing this word, not necessarily about what she's seen, but she has seen it. So whatever it is that she's releasing to the family is going to be critically important.
Okay. I'm trying to decide if I want to shake stuff up first or bring us to it. I'm in a tough spot because, well, I mean, I'm in the Torah portion. I went and saw a place and I've got a different report than what it feels like everyone else has. I don't know what your report is, but the feeling is we have two different reports.
That's good.
So I'm here to give a different report, and you may not like it.
Yeah.
Because it's different than yours.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out how to, like, we're going to get there regardless. I'm just trying to figure out if I'm going to have more fun doing it now or if I'm supposed to bring you to a place. But let me just start with a little bit of shaking. We know that we have unsubscribed to the newsletter that has told you that the gospel is that Jesus is a ticket to heaven or hell.
Yes.
Okay, so we're aware of that. We're aware that we are outside of this pick me gospel.
Yes.
This Western culture gospel that is not in the Bible, that has painted a picture that he is your ticket to a place.
Right.
Later.
Right.
We all say amen to that, but then we are walking dead people waiting for this ticket in this choose me culture so that I can get to a place. The gospel is a different storyline. The best way for me to explain it in just a real quick shaking, if he's not your ticket to a place, then what is all of this? What he wants to release tonight is for you to remember what all of this is. Because if it's not a ticket for later, then there's something that we're missing. And what we're missing is that the gospel is he created you to be a full participant in the divinity of who he is. Before, now, and later. Participant.
That's good.
Okay, so we've unsubscribed to that newsletter, but I almost feel like we have to subscribe to something else. And we've been in a process of subscribing to that, but it almost feels like, I think the invitation that you're talking about is, there's going to be a releasing tonight that I'm in this weird place, like I want to call you guys to the carpet, but I also, but not in a place of condemnation. It's from a place of the Joshua. It's what they saw. So it's like a call to the carpet in the best way possible. Because there's no bad news when you get a good report. So it's like I'm in this weird place of like, guys, this is so awesome. And I'm also like, why are we not moving? What's happening? Okay, so there's going to be some things that are going to be shifting, releasing. I almost felt like saying no notes tonight, but I'm all right. If you need to take notes, that's fine. Because I do believe that there's going to be a lot of teaching. I got like 8 pages. And after I got done with my 8 pages, I just sat there and I just thought, I'm just going to enjoy. Because if I keep going into this, I don't want to get too teaching, because I do want to release, but I feel like there's going to be almost, maybe at the end we'll be able to define it, but I feel like there's going to be 4 different major explosions that are going to happen that's going to shift us into some things. And I do believe that they're all tied. I just don't know how they're tied. Okay?
Okay.
All right, I do have to do a little bit more dot connecting because I haven't been here for the last couple weeks, and I think it's going to set the tone of why these explosions are gonna go off. Okay. So first of all, let me give you guys I'm going to give you 1.5 titles. First title. I can't tell you the second one because that I've got to explain. First title. You guys all thought I was going to talk about the false report. I am for like 2 seconds. We're going to spend the majority of tonight on something way deeper. So the title for tonight is Before. Everybody say that. Before.
Before.
There's something that's going to happen. So just say it again. Before.
Before.
Okay. There was a gospel before Western culture.
Yes.
Okay. Before the need for spies. That's what's going to happen tonight. Second title, which got unlocked when I was getting at the before, is Believer to Disciple. Two. ... You get to find out tonight.
Okay.
Here's what's crazy. How many of us thought, oh my gosh, we left being a believer, so we're disciples?
Yes.
Well, tonight you find out being a disciple is not that awesome. Because there's more.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm carrying. Once this gets unlocked, it is absolutely going to transform and change life. I'm telling you, it's only number 3 out of 8 that he has shown me.
Yeah.
That's the battle. Is how long did it take us to move from believer to disciple?
Yeah.
And tonight he's shifting us from disciple to, we'll get there. And I'm just saying that's number 3 out of a line of what he has for you that's actually going to take you to your before.
Yeah.
And there's like 8 things. So that's why I'm like, okay, call to the carpet, time to move. We don't have time.
Yeah.
It took a long time to go from believer to disciple. Yeah. And I don't want to spend too much time on this because there's some things that are coming. But it's just gonna unlock. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
All right, so we have to dot connect. And I'm sure you guys all thought, I wonder if mom's not gonna dot connect because you guys all talked about food while I was gone. I'm home. I'm pretty sure Dad outed me that he said there's one person that he knows of on the face of this planet that is called to overthrow a system.
Yeah.
Well, if he's going to give me that honor, I will step into it.
Yeah.
Okay. And if anybody's thinking like, oh, why is he, you know, touching our food? Just like he touched your sexuality. Just like he touched your sin and your isolation and all this. He's going to touch the things he wants to touch. Clearly, food's an issue.
Yes.
Genesis 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So, it's not for you to be healthy, but there's purpose behind this. There's purpose behind this. Okay, so I'm not just saying like, hey, this is going to be a good clinic on how to eat well. This isn't the issue. The issue is absolutely was brilliant and beautiful on everything that's been taught that we have got to learn to govern our cravings.
Yes.
You can't govern your issue over food. You will not govern creation.
Yeah.
Because before the ticket to heaven, you were called to co-create.
Yep.
You're not going to be able to create anything if you cannot deal with your cravings.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is foundational. Okay, so all right. So going back a couple weeks ago, we get sent into movement. How many of us said, let's leave religion because we're not going anywhere? Mm-hmm. So we all wanted this.
Yes.
Yeah.
We all wanted movement. Now, some of you guys might be like, okay, we're in the wilderness. Are we literally moving from Flagstaff? What are we doing? What does this mean? Where his presence goes is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What that means is the application of revelation, which means you're actually transforming. When I talk about movement, I'm not saying you're moving from one location to another, but in the spirit, you're moving from one dimension to another.
Yeah.
And you can spend, if you want, 20 years in one dimension, or you can spend 24 hours in a dimension.
Yeah.
I'm saying, can we be a people where you don't spend longer than, we're going to get there, 72 hours in one dimension?
Yeah.
Meaning we should be shifters, or I don't know the word for that, dimension shifters. Every 3 days, you should be a new creation before me. That means your same frustration from a week ago is gone.
Yeah.
Your same irritation or the things that bothered you are no longer there. You are beginning to become a new creation every single time. If every 3 days you've transformed, you have not met me. It's been 3 weeks. None of us have met each other. It's not about not treating me common. Don't treat each other common because you don't know what dimension that person's been in for the last 24 hours. Now, if all this sounds crazy, that's because you've been earthbound for 5 weeks and you're just frustrated, irritated, full of the world, and you just got home from work and you're busy and you're irritated. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about another realm. Talking about another dimension. And living in that way, we would walk through those doors way different than we walk through today. Way different. Because you will walk in these doors and be like, I have seen some things. I have dreamed some things. I have engaged and encountered some things. But we come in here like, well, I met with my boss. Well, I got to, you know, whatever that may be that just pulls you into a dimension is the opposite of what the gospel said. If it said before the foundations of the earth, you were called to be a full participant in the divinity of who he is.
Amen.
I don't know how many I don't know how many to do tonight. I'm at line one.
That's all right.
Okay. Is this making sense?
Yes.
All right. So we started movement, and we were told you are no longer a civilian. Know what that means? You gave up the right to be a human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
No longer human.
Yep.
Yeah.
If Christ himself became humanity. Then the Trinity sucked you in to the divinity of who he is the moment he became flesh. Okay, all right. Does that make sense what I'm saying about movement? Movement is not, I wonder where we're going. I wonder when our leaders are going to move us to the next Torah portion. The movement is in you. Okay? All right. So, divine tactical manual, you are no longer citizens. You gave up your right. How many of us, when you're no longer a civilian, you gave up your right to be, to have certain luxuries, right? So we basically are no longer civilians. We learned, as you said, we are no longer the strategist, but we are the tactician. We're going to get at that tonight. If you feel that you do not have what you need, that's a lie. Okay? If you feel like I don't have what it takes to shift dimensions, you've been lied to. Well, I don't hear from him. Lie. I don't know him. Lie. I don't know what he feels like. Lie. Right? If I don't have what I need, why? Just say that. The moment you're like, oh, but I sinned and you won't touch. Lie! Just sit up in your bed and be like, lie! Just say it.
Amen.
Okay? All right. Then we move into what will sustain that movement? All right. So remember, first thing to sustain the movement is you have to remember that you've got everything you need. So if you don't feel like you have anything you need, lie. You have everything you need to not only to move, but to sustain the movement. You know what that means? No, that means once you move, you don't go back.
Yes.
Sustain the movement. It means revelation. Apply the revelation.
Yes.
New dimension. Don't go back to an old dimension. If you feel just a little bit above earth just right now, even just right now, just a little, you're just a little bit above your workload.
Yes.
Maybe I just got you up just a little bit. Don't go back. This is what's going to sustain the movement. You just went up a little bit. Now stay there. If you just stay there, we'll keep moving.
Okay.
It's the... Right? Okay. All right. So, to deal with the sustaining in the movement, we had to talk about the first issue, is that we typically demand more because we're not hungry for what he already provided.
Yes.
So because he already provided something, we're not hungry for that, so we demand more because what he's providing isn't satisfying.
Yep.
So then we choose to grumble, right? I love this, but the word that was used specifically is we entertained.
Yes.
There's something about what we entertain.
Yes.
You can entertain a realm or you can entertain a realm.
Yep.
And depending on which frequency you want is going to be what you entertain. Whatever you set your eyes on, whatever you honor is what you become. If you want to entertain grumbling, you're going to get grumbling.
Yep.
If you want to entertain gratitude, you're going to entertain more provision.
Amen.
It's yep. simple. It's a law.
Yeah.
It's an awesome law. It's not spiritual. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to give an honest example. Because then we all say amen and we got all excited. Okay, Yahweh provided whole foods.
Yes.
Yep. Peppers. Carrots. Megan, you're annoying. Broccoli. Apples. Potatoes. Chicken. Beef. Okay? Okay?
Okay.
All right. He provided those things.
Yes. It's good.
Okay. Cookies. Did not provide. Ice cream. I heard cookies a couple times. Ice cream. Yahweh didn't provide ice cream, Kate. Bread. Frozen meals. Takeout. Pizza.
Getting quiet. Come on.
Yeah. 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 All right. Now here, but here, hear me, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
because here's the, this is a tangible expression.
Yeah,
we make
yeah,
fun
yeah.
of the Israelites. You had all the manna you could ever want.
Yeah,
and Yahweh's like, you had all the potatoes you could ever want. And you're like, McDonald's.
Yep.
Right? It's the same thing, okay? So because here's what he's doing with this. He's
mm-hmm.
calling out what we once had.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cookies, ice cream, bread, frozen meals, takeout pizza. That sustained us.
Yeah.
But what that actually was worldly, unhealthy cravings, and then we became dependent on those
yes.
things.
Yeah.
I dare say idols.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're empty, but
Absolutely.
We choose to consume them.
Yeah. yeah.
Then what happens is we choose to consume more and more and more, which they don't give you anything because they're empty. So you keep consuming more and more and more and more, and then you blame for the false report, which we're going to get to. Okay?
Good.
He's teaching us that there's a difference, which we've already talked about, this is just not connecting, between hunger and cravings.
Yes.
We have to know the difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will say that if I'm training anyone in nutrition, that is probably absolutely foundationally the issue, is we as Americans especially do not know the difference between hunger and cravings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
We don't know what that means.
Yep.
Okay?
Good.
All right.
That's good.
So he's teaching us that there's a difference between hunger and cravings. The call on our lives is to govern this area. You have to overcome your cravings. It will give you the blueprint for everything else that is coming.
Yeah.
Now, I have the ability and the authority and the right to tell you that
Amen.
Because one
yep.
of the first revelations that was ever given to me in the arena of obedience was food.
Yeah. Yeah.
20
yeah.
years ago, it was food.
Yeah.
And it was a simple instruction, and I had to hold on to that instruction. I will tell you now, looking back, that governing of that simple instruction at the time I thought was for different reasons has been the thing that has catapulted me to see number 8 out of the 3 we're going to get to
yeah.
tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is how that gets there. It is
yeah.
the blueprint
yeah.
for your governing.
Yeah.
We say we want to govern a feast. We don't know how to govern our kitchen.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay?
Yep,
so, all right. You guys good?
Yes.
Yep.
So we are in the midst of leaving empty systems.
Yep.
So he's teaching us what's empty.
Yes.
The problem is that we have created receptors
yes.
that have said that what that craving is what we need.
Yes.
That's what he's breaking off of our lives. Those receptors are getting shut down to say that is not what you need. Let me open up the receptors again. Remember before
yeah.
that there was a time before fast food
yeah.
and he needs you to, in your bloodline, open up your receptors to the things that he has has for you that will actually bring you sustenance.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is the blueprint for everything else. So we're in the midst of leaving empty symptoms, but unto to be able to overturn them.
Yeah.
As it's been shared with us so crazily that we're not just leaving.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not just leaving a system. That would be escape theology.
Yeah.
How I didn't catch that until you dropped it, I don't know. I had no idea that when leaving a system meant that we were going to go back in and we were going to overturn it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But you've got to really be able to govern if you're called to go into a place that you were addicted to.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. Right. Same thing with sexual sin. If you're dealing with sexual sin, you don't find your ministry on day one in the porn industry.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't get free from porn and then be like, I'm called to the strip club.
Yeah.
It's probably a loophole.
Yep. Yeah.
Give it 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. You guys okay?
Yes, we're good.
All right. Those systems gave a false sense of security.
Yes.
Protection. Mm-hmm. Comfort. And since it was false, we needed more of it because it was empty.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we consumed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it making sense?
Yes.
Okay, this is super foundational to a lot of the way that we've grown up. Food is a huge reward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Punishment, right? Yeah. There's a huge emotional attachment, a relationship with food. There's so much that goes into this. But if it's empty, then it's not going to get you anywhere. Okay?
Yep.
All right. Food as an example. Brownies are so good.
Yeah.
But completely empty of any fuel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your body, but this is the issue. This arena of governance, I'm telling you, is the blueprint for everything that is going to come into your life. Because what's happening is your brain is telling your body it needs a brownie.
Yeah.
But your body is fighting against itself because your body is saying that is not going to give me any sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
So you are a house divided.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not able to govern your home because your body is crying out, but your brain is so powerful that your brain will tell your body, no, this is what you need.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay? Your body needs fuel, but your desire is overruling in judgment of what fuel is.
Yeah.
Your desire, plug in anything, your desire for things outside of the kingdom will overrule your judgment in what you need.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, let's step outside of fuel. Time with Yahweh, Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Snapchat.
Come on now. Are you on it right now?
Are you on the scripture app? Shut up! Lie! Right? The desire for TikTok or the desire for social media, the desire for communication with that, how did I say it, is overruling in judgment of what you actually need.
Yeah.
But you know when that comes on you, that game on your phone or that scrolling that's happening, you are like, I need this.
Yeah.
It's what will get me through the day. I don't know what your thoughts are, but it has to be there because it's overtaking, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's overruling the judgment of what you actually need, okay?
Yeah.
It's empty, and it's empty.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's so empty, you do it more.
Mm.
Yeah.
Porn.
Yeah.
So empty, you need more.
Yeah.
Mm. It's absolutely crazy. And the porn gets crazier and crazier and crazier because it has to fulfill a need because it's so empty, you need more of it. That's why I can say spend 5 minutes in the Word, you will be sustained.
Mm-hmm.
Because you won't, I'm not saying that you won't want more, but you're going to learn in fuel, not in consumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a difference there. So I want to make sure that makes sense.
Yep.
So anyways, all of this is this is all unto overturning the systems. Okay?
Yeah.
When you feed yourself things that fuel you, this is what's so powerful. When you decide to shift and you decide to fuel yourself, meaning you're not ruled by what your mind is saying that you need, but you're ruled by, we're going to get into it, but a conviction or whatever we get into, When you choose to do that, you will actually turn your receptors on, your metabolism kicks on, and you will produce more hunger for the right things.
Yeah.
Okay, it does take a shift, and that shift usually is hard, but once that happens, your body begins to crave broccoli.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will actually despise brownies because it knows what it's going to do. Right. Now, I'm not saying that you can't ever have a brownie. I'm just saying we've got to make it fuel us.
Yeah.
Then your body will understand what you're doing to it. Right. I'm not saying you're not supposed to enjoy life. I'm just saying that there's a difference in consumption and emptiness versus being fueled.
Yeah.
It blew my mind when I began to fuel myself the proper way. Because starvation actually made me less healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it shut me down.
Yeah.
It shut everything down. Everything stopped working. You guys, I'm sure you guys have all seen me eat. You would be floored at the amount of food that I eat. It is absolutely insane what I eat. But it has turned my receptors on to need more fuel to be able to sustain the movement that he's requiring of me as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So it starts with discipline or a conviction. It will not start with desire.
Yeah.
Desire is what got you here.
Yeah.
You are not going to just wake up one morning and pray and desire broccoli.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're Megan. But she doesn't wake up and desire chicken either. So, do you know what I mean? So it's like you don't just wake up with a desire for the things of Yahweh. It's not necessarily normal for us to be like, what does the word say? Usually you wake up, you're like, what does the email say?
Yeah.
What does Snapchat say? What did my friend say? What did my husband text me last night? Did my to-do list get checked off? Oh, I wonder what the elders are saying. I mean, it's crazy. I'll go all these other places before I've even talked to him. So you can't just be like, you know what, my desire for movement is just going to fall on me.
Yeah.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
But once you do, and you take what I said before, don't go back.
Yeah.
And you'll keep fueling yourself into the things that he has for you. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, this is all still documenting.
It's good.
All right.
Yeah.
If you don't govern this, that's when your grumbling turns to slander.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is then that's when blame comes in.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know how I got here.
Yeah.
Well, it's in my genes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I just, whatever it is, that's slander in the sense that it's blame. Okay,
yeah.
Grumbling, you've entertained, you're in the arena of entertaining, and now you turn to slander. Megan talked about this, discontentment will manifest in other things.
Yep.
So then you're just unhappy.
Yep.
Yeah.
You are happy. Remember, we've talked about this before. Instant gratification. Brownie's so good. All of a sudden you start to realize you're pissed. Your mood's off.
Yeah.
You feel guilty. Yeah. You didn't. You're this, and this. And all of a sudden it's turning into something else. So it's just a brownie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Food's crazy. Okay. And she talked about this, discontentment will manifest in other things. It can be in jealousy, then all of a sudden you're bitter, you're accusing, rebellion. All that stuff can just start to stir because you're filled with empty things. You're an empty vessel.
Yep.
So then you just start to let me give a very scientific example. This isn't spiritual. It's not like I'm saying, well, and then if you're just entertaining, all of a sudden you're gonna become jealous.
Right.
Yeah.
The issue is that when you entertain the thing that's empty, here's what happens. Your frequency begins to plummet towards death.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you're irritable. That's why you're frustrated. That's why you're judgmental. That's why you're pissed off. That's why you're annoyed.
Yep.
That's why you can't get anywhere. That's why you don't have joy.
Yep.
Right? You're just slowly creeping to, I'll just die. It's just brownie. Or whatever it is that it's just TikTok.
Yeah.
It was just a little porn.
Yeah.
It was just a little whatever the desire is that's overruling your judgment to what fuels you. It's anything.
Yeah, right.
Guys, I know that this sounds crazy because I'm expecting you to live like an angel.
No.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
In fact, greater than.
Yeah.
Christ became human.
Yeah.
So that you could be like him.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he walked on water.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm expecting you to be perfect.
Good.
Okay, don't get all weird.
Yeah.
We're on a journey to perfection.
Yeah.
But if I don't expect that, about life.
Yeah.
And life abundant.
Yeah, yeah.
It's what we claim in amen while we're on a trajectory of death.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just combating your trajectory.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's a frequency. Whatever that addiction is, it didn't fuel you, so now you're this, and now you're this, and now you're this, and now you're this.
Yeah.
When your receptors are on to what fuels you, then all of a sudden you're this, and then you're this, and then you're this, and then you're this, unto love, which is the highest frequency.
Yeah.
So one way to judge if you've been fueled or feasting on something empty is if you're walking in love. You're not, because you guys would be floating in here and kissing and hugging, and you would have never had one negative thought, Dwayne. You know what I mean? I mean, now don't get weird when I say that.
No, it's good.
He is love.
Yeah.
So unless you are imitating and, dare I say, being God, you are operating lower than you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right. And all this is contagious. So even if you were walking in here like love, and somebody else had a brownie, life sucked out of me. Gabe's operating at 15%. He's not a whole 100. He walks in here. I might be at 98. But now I'm down to 84, 83. Right? It's 15%. Whatever. Now I'm just... And then we just keep walking by each other, and then we're all just a swiveled, lifeless amoeba called the church.
Yes.
Called to raise the dead, and we're all a bunch of hypocritical, judgmental, pissed off, annoyed, full of death because of a brownie. Okay? That's all it is.
Yay.
So we get rid of the brownies.
All right.
You'll be like God. Say what? Sermon's over. All right. Then she says, who are you? Because we had Miriam, who is a great example. Who are you? Are you a rebel who threatens the future? Or are you a daughter whose obedience will shape his people's story of redemption?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. That's what. Are you a rebel that's going to threaten our future?
Yep.
What you did yesterday, are you a rebel that's threatening my future?
Come on, yep.
Or are you a son or daughter that is going to be a part of his story, a full participant in the redemption of his people, his creation?
Yep.
Which is it? We feel that.
Yep.
Okay? It matters.
Yes.
Do not go back to religion and come from Friday to Friday. We're going to get at that, because what happened yesterday matters today.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So how you govern this will determine your movement. All right. Why can't, she talked about this, why can't we be hungry for what he provides? Why can't we? Well, she talked about lack of sonship, lack of understanding, lack of grumbling. Huge. This is huge. Dismissing adversity as bondage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is crazy. We call anything that pushes up against us as if it's bondage, so we don't allow us to be taught, which means we are not trained.
Yes. Yeah.
Which means you've been a civilian.
Yes.
Yeah. You're untrained.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay? You have no conviction.
Yep.
All right. I think dot connecting done.
Woo,
that sets the platform and the tone for what I think is going to happen tonight.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to say a couple things because I still want to set the platform. This is not dot connecting, but this is going to kind of set the tone for some things that are going to come tonight. I want to explain, this is what I mean by there's kind of four different directions we're going to go, and this is where I don't know how they're going to tie in, but I'm going to start here. I want to express some things because I think at times it can feel like, come on. This is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's so difficult. Life is life. It's alive. So I would concern, if it's not hard, you're dead.
Yeah.
So I think I'd rather be alive.
Yeah.
Can that just be the mindset?
Yeah.
Right? Because sometimes it could just be like, but we're moving and the training and oh my God, another. I mean, I don't know how you guys, only a remnant can keep up. From Friday to Friday, I'm talking about dementia. I mean, this is crazy how this is moving.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's just. So what I mean by that is I want us to just get the right perspective that we're in the suck.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't, if you weren't in the suck, you're dead.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's think about this. I don't have military words for this. I was trying to pick Dad's brain, but who chooses to go to boot camp is my point. Who chooses to do this? Who chooses to go to boot camp? Clearly, there are people who do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They sign up every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Why? We know boot camp sucks. So why? Why do people do it? For the promise.
Yeah.
So then you got to ask yourself, what is the promise? What's the promise to be in the military?
Yeah.
To fulfill a role to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's keep going. I mean, they ultimately get a reward because they want you guys are gonna catch this, I think.
Yes.
Ultimately, they get the reward of being a protector
to
oversee those who are not.
Yeah.
That's why they go to boot camp. They didn't go to boot camp for a cookie.
Yes.
They didn't go to boot camp for anything other than to be an overseer of those who didn't go to boot camp.
Yeah.
Catching where I'm going with this. Okay, why do people go to college to be a doctor? Why would you go to college? Why would you want to be a doctor? Why would you do that? Okay, it sucks.
Sure.
It's hard.
Yeah.
For what? The promise. I'm wanting to redefine promise for you. What's their promise? Nobody goes in to be a heart surgeon for money. There's plenty of other ways to get money and not have to be in people's hearts, right? It's to fulfill a role to serve.
Mm-hmm.
To be healing, to oversee those who are not.
Yeah, right.
Healed.
Right.
That's why they entered into that profession, okay? Does this make sense?
Yes.
All right, so all of those things, boot camp, college, create discipline. That's the sucky part. It's creating discipline. In order to transform that person to be capable to fulfill a role to serve, to oversee those who are not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the whole reason why they're trained is to be transformed, to be capable, not to get a prize, but to fulfill a role to serve that has them overseeing those who are not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so all of this training, guys, there's no cookie at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah.
All of this training.
Yeah.
Is to discipline you, to transform you, for you to be able to fulfill a role to serve.
Yeah.
So that you can oversee those who did not go through the training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That means the suck never unsucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it does, but it...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All of this training is to take possession of the promise. The issue is, what's the promise?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what that is? We're in the wilderness to get to the promised land.
Right.
Yeah.
So if our concept of training is to get to the promised land, and you're thinking at the end of all this, there's a shiny badge after law enforcement school, you're not recognizing that promised land is day one.
Yeah.
After college, sorry.
Yep.
Dental hygienists that graduate on day one, you have not arrived. When you get into your job, that is day one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so all of this training, it's not going to lighten up because it's just going to get you to day one.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Because what's the promise?
Yeah.
to fulfill a role to
yeah.
serve.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get that into our brains, because if you don't understand that, you will go on a diet so that at the end of your diet, you can reward yourself with the
right.
same shit
right.
that
yeah.
was empty in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're good.
Right? You'll
yes.
just go back. You want to go back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the whole reason why you're being trained is to fulfill a role to serve.
Yep.
All right? Wilderness is not the whole process. Wilderness is not the whole process to just obtain the promised land as the goal. It's the tear down to build up to take possession.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the period. That's not where my period is. I'm going to read it again. Wilderness is not the whole process
yeah. Yeah.
to just obtain the promised land
right.
as
yeah.
the goal.
Yeah. Right.
It's to tear you down to build you up so that you'll take possession,
mm-hmm.
not period.
Yeah.
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 Possession in order to glorify him
yeah.
to the nations that
yeah.
started on day one in the promised land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not over when they get to the promised land, is my
right.
point.
Yeah.
Right.
All
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. We're on the same plate? Same page.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Promised land is only a launch pad.
Are we on the same plate?
We're not. Oh! Same plate? Are we on the same bowl? Are we in the same bowl? This is a good bowl of ice cream, Gabe, I have to admit. All right. Promised land is only a launch pad for a greater mission. It's not just a destination.
Mm. Yeah. Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just take a sip of water really quick. Hold on.
Yeah.
Promised land is only a launch pad for a greater mission. It is not just a destination. So all of this training is to not get you to a destination. All of this training is for you to get to day one of a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So you're always on a mission.
Yeah.
So if you feel like this is hard,
mm-hmm.
this,
yeah.
I am coming from a place, is
yeah.
easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is easy. 15 years ago, this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If it's, this is hard, lie!
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're like, this is hard, sit up and be like, lie.
Yeah.
My mama said,
yeah.
where
yeah.
I'm going is hard.
Yeah. yeah.
This is easy.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
say that.
Okay?
All right. The lens of self-satisfaction.
Yeah.
The land, you guys got to catch this. The lens of self-satisfaction. The land becomes about the milk and the honey.
Yeah.
Do you guys know? I feel like that one sentence, you guys know everything I'm going to preach tonight. Think about this. The lens of self-satisfaction. The promised land becomes
yeah.
all about the milk and honey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yep. That's really good.
Yep.
Rather
yep.
than what we're dealing with.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 Today. the lens of self-satisfaction, the land, the promised land becomes about the milk and the honey rather than what we're dealing with today, which is takes me back to why I shook it up about the golden ticket gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The lens of self-satisfaction makes the land about
yeah.
the milk and honey
yeah.
instead of what we're actually dealing with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of said this, but the promise is not the shiny badge after academy or the black belt after martial arts training.
Mm-hmm.
Professor, I know this about him. When he got his black belt, you guys know the story. When
yeah.
Professor got his black belt, he was then told, now you're ready to learn.
Yeah. yeah.
Where I'm at in with the family is in a long time from now, I'll be able to say, now you're ready to learn.
Yeah.
And this whole time you're like, ah, there's so much
yeah.
to learn. And I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Right? When
yeah.
someone's training a black belt, they recognize when someone's a white belt, they're like, gosh, this is so hard to get four stripes. They're over here thinking, wait till four stripe white black belt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They see that whole process, okay? When you get your badge, it's to start day one on the job. Okay, I'm going to spin this up a little bit. Even health is not for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's good.
Okay? That's why we don't diet.
Yes.
That's why it's about conviction. That's
yeah.
why it's about receptors. That's
yes.
why it's about bloodline.
Yes.
It's why it's about governing cravings, because it's not about your health.
Yes.
It's not for you. It's to overthrow a worldly system.
Yes. Amen.
Okay?
That's good.
Amen.
All right, so here's my question for you guys. And it's an honest question. Because I feel this. And so I know the answer. So that's what I'm saying, it's honest. Are we living week to week? Are we operating paycheck to paycheck in the spirit? Are we robots doing what's preached? Kind of. On a Friday night.
Yeah.
Are we checking the box? I'm going to read some things. I took notes. I listened to the podcast. I boxed here and there. I had secret time.
It's good.
I used the right language. I checked doing the work. Are you filled with knowledge?
Yeah.
You're even following. Yet idle.
Yep. Yeah. It's good.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Because we've talked about that. We've talked about how you can be in the mixed multitude and you can be following.
Yeah.
But there's some other things that are going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we get introduced to two characters that we're going to be identified by, which is very different than just being filled with knowledge and following.
Yeah.
Okay? Because there's more. There's more for us.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
How many of you have been freed when you left being a believer, became a disciple?
Yeah.
Well, now there's more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because disciple means you're, well, we'll get there.
Okay.
Checking the boxes.
Yeah.
Following.
Yeah.
Coming every Friday.
Yeah.
Good little disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Learning a lot. And then when you get sent out two by two, you're like, I can't cast any demons out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means there's more.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's good. We're not believers anymore. We're disciples. But there's a press that even a disciple can have no understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
I want to release this anointing, and I'm really excited about it. I would be scared if I were you. But I don't know what to call it. I'm really good. I don't know what I'm gonna call this. I want so much movement that we're I don't want to say that. I want to see I don't know how to say this. Because I don't have language yet. I don't have English words yet. There is. When you're not being filled with things that are empty, you are going to be so hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So your cravings are going to go away for the things that are empty, and you are going to be so hungry. And when that metabolism kicks on, the level of push, the level of movement, you will be amazed at what your body can do. You will be absolutely like, I had no idea that level of transformation was possible. So I want to release an anointing for some crazy movement. It's what I was talking about before. I don't want 3 days to go by and you have not been transformed.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Remember when Dad at Tabernacle said it's obsolete?
Yeah.
It's like one of those words.
Yeah.
Okay? It's almost like as supernatural as this is, if 3 days have gone by and I'm hearing about the same thing and it's been 3 days, obsolete.
Yeah.
But do you see what I mean by metabolism?
Yes.
You are going to have to get tenacious after those peppers.
Yes.
Like you don't got time to eat sugar.
You are going to have to.
Okay, so this is the anointing. When I was raising my kids, you guys all know the story. This is the anointing I want to release. You've got 3 days. Mm-hmm. I said it all the time. I had one kid. Everybody thought I was crazy because I acted like I knew what I was doing with only one kid. I mean, I got made fun of, but I didn't care. Yahweh told me that it was going to work.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He said it was going to work, and I was that confident, even though I didn't know if it was going to do. Does that make sense? I had one kid.
Yeah.
No. Oh, you got luck. Oh.
Yeah.
My own bloodline. You got lucky. I'm like, that is not luck. I can tell you right now, that is not luck. And if I wouldn't have done what I did, it would have been a hot mess.
Yeah.
Absolute hot mess. I mean, you're amazing, but you're trained.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. You didn't pop out like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say, anyone that would come to me with an issue with their kids, what would I tell anybody who did that? What would I say? Give me 3 days.
Yeah.
I just went like that. Be careful. Oh. I'll shorten it. Give me 3 days and it'll be dealt with. Mm-hmm. Now, listen. I'm talking about multiple children.
Yeah.
Adults? I have a harder time saying give me 3 days. That's what I'm calling you guys to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. But with kids, soak up 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the story of the tomato. And you guys have heard this story before, but you guys have to understand, well, it was food.
Yeah.
He learned at the age of 8 months, 9 months, whatever it was, to govern food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if anything, it was more to govern me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? I always said, give me 3 days. He broke on the third day.
Mm.
I questioned it for a while, but on the third day he broke. But basically, if you don't know the story, I gave him some food. I don't even remember what it was. There was a little tomato in there, less than the size of this pinky. I definitely didn't have it, and he wouldn't eat it. And so my rule was, I'm not going to be a made-to-order cook. I knew I was going to have a million kids. And so I wasn't going to cater to what he wanted. So that's fine. You don't need to eat. I took it away from him. And then I gave him the tomato again. I just represented. Right? I just represented.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah.
He didn't want it. No big deal. No fight. We didn't lose our relationship.
Yeah.
Took it away. When he was hungry again, I represented.
Yeah.
Day one.
That's good.
I go to church the next day. I'm about to get kicked out. You do not do that. You cannot starve your children. You know, you give them sugar water. Just do something to, you know. Oh, you guys would not. It starts young.
Yeah.
Okay, day two. He's going to do it. Nope. 3 more meals. Stinking little kid. Did not eat it again. It wasn't until the lunchtime of the third day he picked up the tomato and he put it in his mouth. Now, here's the issue. Was it about the tomato?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's good.
No.
Yeah.
It was about who's going to win this battle.
Yeah.
And Yahweh is going to represent.
Yes. Yes.
But here's the thing. Older people have it harder, and it takes them a lot longer than 3 days, because they'll just go in the fridge and eat the damn brownie.
Mm. Yeah.
They won't let him represent.
Yes.
They won't start. They won't allow Yahweh to withhold, because that must be the devil.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Adversity, you're not trained,
yep.
And then you go and you choose to eat something else. So now you've gone a year without eating the tomato.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
the anointing I want to release over us.
Yeah.
3 days.
Yeah.
You have 3 days to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying that whatever the issue is, it's just broken in 3 days. Because, like I said, it wasn't about the tomato.
Yeah.
It's not like all his training was done after 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just round one, round 105 at that point, I'm sure. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just means get some movement on the issue in 3 days. Have something that you have heard and applied and moved on, period.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to go back.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
3 days. That's what I mean. If it's the same thing after 3 days, obsolete.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It could be the same. Does it?
Yeah.
Yes.
He still had to eat. He still had to learn how to eat other things. But the issue was, I will and you guys have seen us do it, we are representing the last thing he said, because that's what needs to be moved on before we move on to something else.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yes.
So the 3-day anointing. The reason why I'm saying that is because of what he's releasing over us. Mm-hmm. All right?
Okay.
It was to train. The whole tomato thing was not about the tomato. It was to train and build character. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the end, or not even necessarily the end, but what was in sight on that day when I cried myself to sleep was he's going to be a father someday.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. Well, I'm going to add, he's married now. Anya, does he get the luxury of even having 3 days? Thank God I trained a 3-day movement man, because now he's got a wife that's like, oh, you're not taking 3 days on that issue.
Yeah.
You get a wife, it's like 24 hours. Do not let your anger go down. Don't let the sun, you get 24 hours before you move into what needs to be moved into.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yes.
If the longest it is 3 days, then you don't have someone that's got 5 years before.
Yeah.
Right? That's what all this is for, because eventually you're going to fulfill a role to serve, to oversee ones that aren't.
Yes.
Get it?
Yes.
That's why we do the tomato.
Yes.
Generational. It wasn't so he just was an awesome kid. It was so that he would fulfill a role to serve his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen.
Okay, to be able to oversee the next generation. All right, what's the promise? I keep asking you that. What's the promise? To fulfill a role to serve.
Yes.
Okay, that's the promise.
Okay.
All right. This Torah portion. I'm serious. Okay. Are you guys okay if I take off my jacket? I'm hot. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. Somebody already asked me, are you holding on to summer? I'm like, yes. All right. This Torah portion. This is going to be good. All right. Yes. Let's just open there. Numbers 14. There's a couple things going on in the spirit that I'm hoping, it doesn't matter if I can explain it. I don't know if I've got English words, but there's a couple things that are going on in the spirit that's happening that when I talk about hunger, in me teaching this portion, you're going to understand what fueling means as I'm reading this. It's like the portion's alive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always alive, but what I talked about is alive in this very thing. Because what I'm going to teach you is if all of you just took this Torah portion and checked box, you missed a huge part of tonight. If you just read through, not Exodus, I'm in Exodus, please. Numbers. Ooh, you get a fun one next week. Numbers 13. Numbers 13, if you just read through this Torah portion, you missed a huge mystery. Well, if you missed it, I'm gonna bring it to you, but that's what I mean by going Friday to Friday, paycheck to paycheck, waiting for a mystery to be revealed when you have the capability to dig and dive.
Yeah.
If you weren't on Snapchat, you could.
Yeah.
I said this on Vox. I engaged Exodus 15:26.
Yeah.
Not in knowledge. I didn't read. I am Adonai who will heal you. I didn't claim it. I didn't name a scripture. I didn't read it for knowledge. I took the word and made it a being. And I engaged the living word of healer and then activated what that means within the body.
Yeah.
Totally different way to read the word.
Mm-hmm.
So it's alive, okay? So if you just checkbox the Torah portion, you've missed something. So I'm going to read something. The word says, "See, Adonai your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession as he has promised you. Do not be afraid or discouraged." Zoe's already looking at me. I love it. No, it doesn't, Mom. That's not what the word says. I love it. I love that face. That's what I'm looking for. Numbers 13, 1 through 2. Right? This is what you guys all read. We all read, right? Oh, gosh. Where am I at? Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Send some men on your behalf to investigate the land of Canaan, which I am giving to Bnei Israel. Each man you are to send will be a prince of the tribes of his fathers and a man from each tribe." Okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to read what I just read.
Okay.
The word says, "See, Adonai your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession as he has promised you. Do not be afraid or discouraged." I'm going to keep reading the word. "Then all of you came near to me and said, 'Let's send men ahead of us to explore the land for us and bring us back a word about the way we should go and the cities we will enter.'" Deuteronomy 1, 21 and 22. Okay?
Yeah.
"Have you searched out the whole truth, or did you just read this verse?" Because this is the mystery that I want us to get into. And this is huge. And all of this is dot connecting. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, you're not the strategist.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a huge aspect to this Torah portion where it's not explicitly said here, where it exposes that the people of Israel decided that they were the strategist.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't know that by just reading the Torah portion, so you missed that.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 1 is super powerful. It's 38 years later. Moshe is retelling this Torah portion to the generation that made it after everybody else had died, explaining to them what happened.
Yeah.
Okay, stop. Go figure out whatever you need to do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy is saying in the future to it. Deuteronomy is in our future, and he's explaining to them what actually happened.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read it again. Deuteronomy 1:22 and 1:21. "See, Adonai your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession as he has promised you. Do not be afraid or discouraged." Verse 22, "Then all of you came near to me. Let's send men ahead of us to explore the land for us and bring us back word about the way we should go up and the cities we will enter."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's Moshe telling the generation what happened.
Yeah.
All we get in this Torah portion is that Adonai told them to do that.
Yep.
So we get a couple of things in this Torah portion. So have you searched out the whole truth or just read a verse? There's a difference between checking the box or eating like a craving, eating the word like a craving versus fueling, seeking him to find, because it makes it changes the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The whole story changes from that point forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, so this is the mystery that I want to get into. Because we have been built upon precept, and we recognize that he's the strategist, I'm not. We now learn that when you decide to become the strategist, Yahweh will entertain your strategies. But be very careful, because it may cost you your life. Okay, so we all thought we're going to focus on the false report. There are some things before the false report that we need to grab a hold of that is going to help us as we walk through this.
Yeah.
Because what we see is that Yahweh said, go ahead. If you want to do that, then this is how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
So he entertains your strategy. But the moment you step in as strategist, he entertains it. But then guess what happens? You die.
Yep.
Okay, so it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's some more. Are you guys okay?
Yes, we're good.
So the entire focus is on the report in every sermon that I've ever heard about this. Every commentary, the focus is on the bad report, including our own sermons. We've preached on this before. You guys remember the 16%?
Yes.
Okay. including ours, we focus on the bad report. Tonight, we're going to do that, but I want to land most of our time figuring out why we even got a report in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there is some unlocking, because it's one thing to be trained in how to handle a false report, and it's a good training. But what if we could be at a place where we don't get the report in the first place?
Yeah.
That's where I want us to be.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because if we take the word that you're not the strategist, we're going to get to the end of this, but what could have happened was no report at all.
Yeah.
And it would have been,
yes.
Adonai, your God, has now set the land before you. Go
up.
Yeah. Take possession. Yeah. He promised it to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
Done deal.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the traditional sermon. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Because what if we forget? So we do get reports. What I mean by that is, let me see when I say this. Yeah, I get to it. They knew for generations about this land. I'm going to get into it later, but they knew about this.
Right.
So at the end of the day, they must have forgotten.
Yeah.
They must have forgotten the promise,
yep.
Which is what caused them to step in as the strategist.
Yes.
So what if we forget?
Yeah.
We get reports by men. If we forget, we're going to get a report, and it's going to be by men.
Yeah.
We already have a report. I'm going to get to that. We already have the report.
Yeah.
But if we don't like his report, we're going to choose to be the strategist to get our own report.
Yeah.
One, it's going to cost you your life, but what happened? Why? Because they forgot. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I am going to preach on that a little bit because I want us to be equipped in case you forget.
Mm-hmm.
If you forget his word. What do you do when you do get a report? Right? That's been usually the focus, so I'm just going to spend a little bit of time on that. You've got two options. You can be a part of the 16%, or you can be part of the 84.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's 12 people, 2 out of 12, 16%, 84% is the other half. So just real quickly, if you get a false report, or a bad report, or a report by man, I'm talking about what you do after. This is basically after you've messed up.
Yeah.
After you forgot, after all that, which is why I want to tap into it, but let's just say you're there and you get a false report, you get a bad report. You then have two options. You could be the 16% or you can be the 84. So I'm going to separate out those a little bit so that you can kind of see the difference. If you are part of the 16%, you focus on the positive. Remember when I talked about the brownie and then you just,
yes.
And then you just, and then you just, yeah. And then you just, and then you, I'm dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? 16% says, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So 16% says, but did you see the grapes?
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That positive focus is going to build love. Because it's him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay? The other thing that the 16% did. Well, I'll just go back and forth. The 84% obviously did what? Focused on the
negative.
The giants.
Mm-hmm.
The fortification. That builds death.
Yeah.
Okay? Love, death. Mm-hmm. Just based on what you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a false report, you get a bad report, you have the option to be the minority, focus on the positive versus focusing on the negative. Okay? One builds love, one builds death. Got it?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. If you're part of the 16%, you will compare the report to Yahweh.
Yes. That's good.
Read the Torah portion again. They compared what they saw to their King of Kings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what their King of Kings could do with that report.
Yeah. Yep.
They compared the situation to God. The 84% compared the report to themselves.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
They said, we are like grasshoppers. We are like grasshoppers to them. Joshua and Caleb said, That's nothing for Adonai.
Yes.
They compared the situation to what God can do. The 84% is going to compare the situation to what you can do.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Third thing. I feel like this is hopefully simple. If you're part of the 16%, you trust.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's good.
You have a choice to remember. This is all in one thing. You trust. Choose to remember. Because remember, Joshua and Caleb, once they got the report, they had to choose. Guys, remember what he said. So even after a bad report, you still can choose to remember what was said.
Yeah.
So you can trust and choose to remember, and obviously, you don't follow the norm.
Yeah.
So if you're in the minority, you're doing awesome. That's my philosophy anyway. If you're part of the 84%, you don't trust, you continue to forget, and you follow the crowd.
Yep.
Don't trust, continue to forget, follow the crowd. Meaning the report comes in and you still continue to not trust, continue to forget the word, and you follow the crowd. Good?
Yep. Yeah.
Typical sermon.
Okay.
Key points, I do not have time tonight, but I'm just going to release them to you. Joshua comes from the tribe of Ephraim. Caleb comes from the tribe of Judah. Pretty sure we need to pay attention to these two people. Because they became the future of the northern and southern kingdoms.
Yeah.
We also know Paul talks a lot about Jews and Gentiles. Ephraim, we know, is Gentile. I have a feeling they kind of mark us for our now and our future. There's a reason why those two tribes are called out of all of them, because they are the ones that are going to lead. We don't have time tonight, but it means something. Pay attention, okay?
Okay.
All right. Also, another just quick 40 days. What does that mean? Time of testing. So, all right. We're good?
Yes.
Yep.
That could have been the sermon. We could have just said, good job. If I was one to check the box, that's what you would have gotten tonight, and we all could have gone home to our cookies.
Yeah.
But instead, you're going to stay a little longer and eat a big old fat bowl of his word.
Yes.
Okay? Because there's a greater training.
Yeah.
That training is how to not get a report in the first place. Can we be a people to not get a report at all?
Yeah.
Because the only report.
Yes.
All right. All right, I already talked about Deuteronomy 1. He's retelling the story. So I'm just gonna say this in my own words. So Moshe, now in Deuteronomy 1, is retelling what happened in Numbers 13 to this generation. He adds a clue, and he tells the story, and in my own wording, I feel like he says, he's telling the generation, I told your parents, it's time to enter. And they said, but wait. That's all a part of our history, by the way.
Yeah.
We have an idea.
Yeah.
Let's send men ahead of us to explore.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's the thing. The people who... this is so a part of our history. It's crazy. The people that mentioned this idea weren't even the people that were going to go do the exploring. Because Moshe said all of them said, but wait, let us send men to go in and see.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't even the ones that went in. There was only 12.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes.
Convenient.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not only do you not believe in the word, you're gonna be the strategist for a... Come on!
Yeah.
That is just, that's religion. Let me be the strategist over Yahweh on behalf of other people so that they can go in and do it, to come in and give me a word. Okay. Anyways. You guys okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I want to go a little bit deeper with this, because it's not just Deuteronomy. I want to read a couple things. So taking Numbers 13 at face value, you may have forgotten a couple of things, because we're going to be focusing on the bad report. So we forget the original report. The first thing I did when I read this was, I want to know the original report.
Yeah.
Why did they need to go and search the land if they already had a report? And what was that? How many of us did that? If we're not doing that, then we're forgetting the report in the first place,
right,
falling trapped to how to handle a false report, but now you're already on the wrong battlefield when you can remember that there was already a report.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go there. Exodus 3:8, all the way back before all of this started. They're in Egypt. He says himself, I have come down to deliver them, to bring them into a good and large land, flowing with milk and honey, into the plates of all the Hittites. Exodus 3:8. Self-satisfaction will make the land all about the milk and honey.
Yeah.
I have come down to deliver them, to bring them into a good and large land, flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the giants.
Yeah.
They knew.
Yeah.
Well ahead of time. He's not tricking you. He's not like the land filled with milk and honey, and then they come back and they're like, oh, we can't take it. Surprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
He told them from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's going to be inhabited, but it's yours.
Yeah.
Okay, then Exodus 13:5, when Adonai brings you, not if,
when
into the land of the giants, he will give it to you, and the land is flowing, fully exposed.
Mm-hmm.
They already had a report, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But wait. I need Yahweh's word confirmed 100 times over.
Yep, yep.
That's why we're idle. Okay? Because what, you guys understand, they're just in year one.
Yeah.
How many of you guys thought Joshua and Caleb came that quick? I don't know why, but for some reason I was thinking Joshua and Caleb were way later, and I don't understand. I was like, well, they are right now. It happened year one.
Yeah.
And what is the story? Moshe's telling them, there's the land.
Yeah.
Done deal. But wait. And the whole reason why they're there is on this, on that word.
Mm-hmm.
See how off kilter we can get?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another powerful scripture if you're digging. If you're like, what was the original? And this is what I mean. I want to train you guys to dig. You get a false report from a doctor, dig.
Yeah.
Find the truth. It's not going to be in the Torah portion. It's not going to be in your checklist. It's not going to be in the, it's not going to be just, it's not going to be Psalms 101.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it won't be. I'm just saying, like, dig, okay?
Yeah.
Because Ezekiel 20 verse 6. On that day, I lifted my hand to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had sought out for them. The splendor of all lands. Ezekiel says, on that day, I lifted my hand to them, Yahweh saying this, to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had sought out for them. He had already sought out that land. New Living Translation says, to a land I had discovered and explored for them. He didn't just be like, here, go have fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He discovered and explored the land for them. Another version says, I had selected this land for them. That word means to seek, to search out. Listen to this. To spy out. Go back to my title. Before the need for spies.
Yeah.
I should have put human spies.
Yeah.
Before the need for human spies. To search out, to spy out, to explore. Help me with this word. To make reconnaissance. I cannot say that word for nothing. I actually saw a commentary that said the reconnaissance of Joshua and Caleb.
Wow.
But this word in Ezekiel is saying that he made reconnaissance. Did I say it right? Reconnaissance. Did I say that right? To find out how to do something. He did all that. Okay? Who's the strategist? Yahweh will allow you to take his seat and even give instructions to your ideas. That's all right. You're not going to hell. You just might die. There was so much truth in that one sentence. But if you would get this,
yeah.
You would want to live.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Alright, so it's alright. You decide to be a strategist for a day. He gives you some instructions, but I have on here it may cost you 38 years of circling.
Yeah.
See what I mean by that anointing? 3 days!
Yeah.
I don't want 38 years of circling.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't know better.
Yeah.
And what sounds like a good plan may cost you your adult life.
Yep.
And you'll never see the promise.
Yep.
All right. I don't know why I have this in my notes. I said, after this great idea, they got instructions. After this great idea, instructions, and 40 days of walking it out. Oh, that's what I was getting at. Even after all that, they have this great idea. Yahweh gives them instructions. You're going to take the 12, the prince, all that kind of stuff, and you're going to do this for 40 days, and they go and they walk it all out. Even after all that, their strategy didn't even work.
Yeah.
I mean... It, what did that afford you? It didn't even work.
Yeah.
Okay. It just confirmed their unbelief.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say something, and it's gonna land hard.
Okay. Good.
Your own strategy is only to confirm what you already believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And he'll honor your own strategy.
Yep.
But your strategy is only going to give back what you already believe. This is what I mean by movement. Be stretched.
Yeah, yeah.
Be different.
Yeah.
Let him say a different word.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Get crazy. You're like, if you're free.
Yeah.
Just go nuts.
Yeah.
Let him just be true. Seek out the prophet Ezekiel. What did you say? And it's going to sound nuts. Who cares? Your own ideas are only going to show you that you suck anyways.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
You already have, by the very nature that they said, but wait, we got an idea.
Yeah.
Let's search it out for ourselves. Let's make sure, what's the scripture that says, let every man be a liar? Let every man be a liar because he is true. What's that scripture? What am I thinking of? Let every man be a liar because he's Because God, what is it? Oh my gosh, someone look it up for me. Anyways, we reverse that scripture and say, let God be the liar so that I can be true. Find the scripture, because I don't know what I'm quoting.
That was good.
Right? Like, we do whatever we can to prove him wrong so that I can be true.
Yeah, it's Romans 3:4. Let God be true, but every man a liar.
Yeah, let God be true and let every man be a liar instead of letting him be the liar so that you can be true.
Yeah.
Just be a liar.
Yeah. Be a liar.
So that he can be true.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by be crazy.
Yeah.
Okay? Because your strategy to begin with was already in unbelief from the original report.
Right.
So all it did was confirm their original unbelief.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything but just give us a little bit of strategy of what you might be able to do if you get a bad report.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is why I'm going deeper on how to not get a report in the first place.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. This is why I want us to focus on before. Okay?
Okay.
I kind of already said this, and I think that this is obvious, but I just want to say it. So an example would be you get a doctor's report. There's a way to handle that report.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at, which is why we were talking about food in the first place, is can we be a people where you never got a report in the first place?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
We can live that way. It's okay if we do get a bad report. We now have some strategy of what to do.
Yeah.
But there's more.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. Oh my gosh. All right. So, three key things. For us to be able to be a family that figures it out before the report, you have to, number one, you have to know what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, know it. Not what you want to know of it. He did tell them about the Hittites.
Yeah.
He did tell them that. They just were after self-satisfaction with the land,
right,
milk, and honey. So
yeah,
they thought the promise was the shiny badge.
Yeah.
And because it didn't look like the shiny badge, they were like, we can't do this.
Yeah.
If they had known that that's what he had called them into, which is why we're being trained to know that the promised land is not, is, it's about day one. I'm already setting you up to be able to conquer the giants. Okay? You have to be able to take his whole word, not a part of it. Okay, that's number one. Number two, once you know what he said, you have to remember what he said.
Right.
Forgetting it is as if you didn't know it at all.
Right, yeah.
Doesn't do any good to know it.
Yeah.
We're going to get into this, but in one ear and out the other.
Yep.
That's knowledge.
Yep.
Forgetting it is if you didn't know it at all. It's the difference between knowledge. That, or the difference between knowledge, which is what I was talking about paycheck to paycheck. That's the difference. If you forget and you're not precept upon precept and you forget, then you're living a spiritual paycheck to paycheck lifestyle versus ownership and investment.
Yeah.
Knowing what he said, remembering it, owning it, and investing in it,
yeah,
is going to cause movement versus,
yeah,
I wrote it down,
yep,
never read my notes again,
yep,
yeah,
didn't dot connect, didn't,
yep,
didn't, I lived a compartmentalized life, I, Friday was separate from Thursday morning, and I,
yeah,
and it's knowledge.
Yep.
We're filled with knowledge.
Yep.
So then we don't remember, so we don't know how to apply it, and that's living paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay, number three. This is the key. You have to know what he said. You have to remember what he said. And then number three, you have to obey it.
Yeah.
Obey. Yes, Dad. You guys, this is so good. 38 years would have been fixed. This is my interpretation. 38 years would not have been fixed if there was 3 out of 12. 38 years would not have been fixed if there was 6 out of 12. I dare say 38 years would not have been fixed if there was 12 out of 12. I think the issue was from day one, 38 years would have only been fixed if they had said, yes, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There'd be no question. Done deal. They would go in and possess the land. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It wasn't about 2 over 12. It was the fact that they didn't listen in the first place.
Yeah.
Could have been why there was 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's how powerful some of these foundational things are.
Yeah.
It's just obedience.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just a stinking,
yeah,
tomato.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah,
eat the tomato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. I have in my notes, done. But I have a little bit more. But are you guys okay with just a little bit more?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was basically the gist of a couple things. I felt like I was going in a couple different directions. Number one, I feel like we need to redefine promised land.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get rid of the filter of self-satisfaction that the promised land,
yeah,
is some shiny thing.
Yeah.
Promised land's day one.
Yep.
Get used to the training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
the first thing. Then remember this portion on what to do with a false report, but let us be a people that don't get him in the first place.
Yes.
Yes.
By knowing his word, the whole word, remembering it, and obeying it, because we are 3-day anointer movement,
yes,
people.
Right.
Yes.
Because we're investing and we're not spiritually paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay? All right. I want to, maybe this will just be like the sprinkle.
Okay.
Because what I felt in all of this came from an anointing from when I say before.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In this literal Torah portion, if we would have looked at the before, a mystery would get unlocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Oh no. Oh, I don't know. Maybe this is another night.
No.
Okay, we'll just see how far we get. Okay. All right. This is the good news. Because, well, I don't know how it's going to connect. We're all supposed to be trained. Let me say this. The reason why you all have to be trained is because we're in the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But if we could go even before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I guess what I'm saying is I'm just teaching you how to get before Numbers 13. Right. But there's before Genesis 1:1.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes all this make sense. Because remember, you're in a dual.
Yeah.
Multi-dual system.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. So, I'm going to say something, and I hope it ignites you with the before.
Okay.
Before you were in Adam, in sin, in Genesis 3, you were in Christ before the foundation of the world. All of you should be acting like God right now. Full of love. Before you were in Adam, you were in Christ before the foundation of the earth. There's an anointing for you to begin to understand what was before. All I'm teaching is he had a word. In tonight's Torah portion, he had a word in Exodus. He had a word before they were like, but wait, I got an idea. There was a word before a bad report. Wasn't even a false report. It was a true report. Wasn't even false. It was true.
Yeah.
I mean, it was exaggerated. They were a little like, man, they were so big. I mean, there was some exaggeration, but it was a true report.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? But before there was a word. So for us, before you were in sin, you were in Christ.
Amen.
Before there was breath on this earth. Let me say this. Before you breathed. I'm gonna take us back in some increments. Before you had your first breath on this earth, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. Isaiah 49:1. Adonai called me from the womb, from my mother's belly. He named me. Galatians 1:15. God, who set me apart from birth and called me. Psalm 139:13-16. There's some words before you sinned. There's some words before you got angry. There are some words before you fell into addiction. There are some words before you became whatever you believe that you became. Psalm 139:13-16. For you have created my conscience. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful, wonderful are your works, and my soul knows that very well. Before you didn't eat the tomato, you were fearfully and wonderfully constructed down to your conscience. See what I mean by bad reports?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they?
Yeah.
If you go before.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go even a little deeper. All right, can we go a little deeper?
Yeah.
Even before your mother's womb. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in Messiah before the foundations of the world. to be holy and blameless before him in love. Before you were full of blame, you, before Genesis 1:1, were blameless. Before you blame someone else, they were blameless. 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us. This grace was given to us in the Messiah Yeshua before time began. Before your clock started ticking. Before time itself, you were saved. But now it has been revealed through the appearing of him in the good news. All he did was appear to show you before. All right, Titus 1:2. God, who cannot lie, promised eternal life before the beginning of time. Not after you said a prayer. I'm going to get undressed. This is a word. This is not my doctrine. God, who cannot lie, promised eternal life before the clock started. 1 Peter 1:20. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. There is so much more than checking a box and reading the Torah portion. Okay? I don't know how much time I have, but I'm going to prove it. This is going to blow your mind. I'm proving it to you guys before the foundation of the world. Genesis 2:4. I should have wrote down the actual scripture. Let me read this. These are the genealogical records of the heavens and the earth when they were created, at the time when Adonai Elohim made land and sky. Now no shrub of the field was in the land yet, and no green plants of the field had sprouted yet. For Adonai Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the land, and there was no one to work the ground. But a mist came up from the land and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then Adonai Elohim formed the man out of the dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. So the man became a living being. Then Adonai Elohim planted a garden in the Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Then Adonai caused it to sprout from the ground every tree. Adam was made before the garden. The garden was just the platform to launch him into a role to fulfill, to serve. It means everything he needed was in him as a living being to be able to take dominion over that garden. He didn't need the garden to train him. He was fully formed and then placed. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm proving that he was chosen before the foundation because he was made in Yahweh's image. He had everything that he needed and then sent into the garden. This is why it's not a ticket. If Gan Eden, if heaven is our promised land, then you have everything you need to be placed there. You're not waiting for that to be placed so that then you can. Make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Man was formed and had everything he needed to take ownership of the garden. What was the promise? The garden? It was to fulfill a role to serve. Because he said, take dominion and multiply. Okay. How am I going to tie this together? I believe that there is a mystery getting unlocked for our family. We have moved from believer to disciple. But there's more. Like I've been saying, you can have knowledge and you can even follow. Right? Isn't that the definition of a disciple? Is that we are followers of the way. And yet, we still can't heal the sick or cast out demons because we're not fulfilling our role. So there's more. So what I want us to do, I'll figure out at the end how I'm going to tie this up. But this is what I want us to work on. From this point forward, us on top of the 3-day anointing, from this point forward, I want us to be a people who study Joshua and Caleb. We have to study Joshua and Caleb. Because they're tapping into something that is preparing us for before. That's how I feel like I'm going to tie it. Because there's more. So I'm just going to release a couple things. At this point, we don't know anything about Caleb except for he's from the tribe of Judah. That's all we know about Caleb at this point. There's no mention of him, and there's no mention of what he carried. But I want you to bolo. I want you to be on the lookout, because in next week's Torah portion, we get a really big clue about Caleb. I'm just going to read it right off the bat. It's verse 14, verse 24. Yahweh says he has a different spirit in him. That's the first thing. He has a different spirit. Number two, he wholeheartedly is behind Yahweh. And he is described as my servant. This is what I want. This is what we're going to start to tap into. I'm going to read the definition of servant. Slave. To work. To serve. To labor. To be worked. To be tilled. To be led. Disciples follow and they're taught. But they can have all this teaching and have no understanding. Or they can have all this teaching, have some understanding, and no applying. Because adversity or pressure gets blamed, the process stops. Or we just decide, I want to remain a disciple. We all know that the disciples became something, and they became successors. So we've got to figure out, because what do we know about Joshua? He becomes Moshe's successor. So if we want to understand that there's something beyond discipleship, then we have to understand what is the anointing that they're carrying to allow me to be a successor in his kingdom. Because there's more than just being a disciple. That's what I feel like is getting unlocked. We went from just being a believer to being a follower of the way, and he's saying, I have more for this family. Like I said, if I release number 3 to you tonight, there's about 8. So be excited about embracing believer to disciple to what's going to be released tonight, because there's more than even what's released tonight. It's unto more.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, okay? So let's go over the characteristics of Joshua. His name means Yahweh is salvation. Exodus 17:9, this is going back. Remember, he fought on the ground while Moshe took a seat. Now remember, Joshua's carrying something very powerful here. Very, very powerful on behalf of the people. Because remember, he was fighting the Amalekite spirit, the spirit the people brought on themselves.
Yeah.
The whole reason why they were in that mess is because they were blaming Moshe for not doing anything.
Yeah.
And then he's fighting against the spirit that brought that on.
Yeah.
So So when we talk about the slander and all that kind of stuff and all that that's going on, Joshua has been trained in how to take some of this stuff on. Okay, Exodus 33:11 describes him as, Exodus 33:11 says, the young man who assisted him. He was serving at the tent of meeting. Remember that? Moshe would leave and he'd stay. And he was with him while he was serving in the tent of meeting. So you got Joshua as a fighter, and now you've got him ministering and serving at the tent of meeting next to Moshe. So you're seeing glimpses of Joshua. Okay? I would say at this point all of the Israelites are disciples.
Yeah.
They're being taught. They have instructions. But there's something about Joshua that's at the tent of meeting with Moshe, fighting as a leader on behalf of Moshe. Then do you guys remember when Dad preached in Numbers 11, when the elders started prophesying and Joshua was like, wait, hold on a second. Go back and look at what it describes him. It says the assistant of Moshe since his youth. So, and we know that he becomes his successor. So this is what I want to point out. What I know of right now is Joshua and Caleb are carrying a title that we have not been introduced to yet that has been stirring in my spirit this whole week. Had no idea. I absolutely had no idea that this word was stirring in my spirit, that it was part of the Torah portion. But the word is assistant. What's happening is you're moving from believer tonight to a disciple to being an assistant. Now, I'm going to specifically use this word assistant. The word is equal to servant. But I'm not going to use the word servant because I feel like we don't understand what that means. So we're just going to not use the word servant. We're going to use what is used in the Tree of Life version, which is assistant. Very powerful when we're learning about serving. So we're going to settle on this word. But the word assistant means to minister, to serve, to contribute to, and to wait on. Okay, so I want you guys to be on the lookout. We are going to start to look for Joshua and Caleb because I believe he's moving this family from believer to more than disciple to an assistant. And I believe that understanding assistant is going to catapult you in movement because it was Joshua that was that close. I mean, it has to. He became the successor. The promise over Caleb and Joshua that Moshe talks about in Deuteronomy is that everyone that grumbles does not make it except these two.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something about those two that taught them not to grumble because they were an assistant to Moshe. They were an assistant to those plans, not just learning about them.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
All right. I think I'm actually done now. I don't know how that ties between assistant and before. But all I know is what got me to the next level of discipleship, which is assistant, was the word before. That's all I know. And think about it. In the Renewed Covenant, you've got the disciples. What did they end up doing? They became his successors. They did a lot more than follow. He told a lot of people, drop your bags and follow. There was a lot of people that followed. All of them were disciples. There's something about those disciples that became successors and began to do what it was that he did. But if you think about it, they assisted Yeshua. Mm-hmm. Let me stand guard while you do this. Let me go a little bit closer. Let me not leave you. This is what I'm talking about paycheck to paycheck. Are we just showing up on Friday to Friday? I mean, I don't know why I'm going to say this. This is probably stupid, but how many of you are there on Sunday morning watching, learning, Monday morning, Monday night, or is it, well, I put in a box? This is going to sound crazy in Western culture because it's going to be like, what more do you want me to do? But those disciples, everybody had the same thing. Drop your stuff. No, let the dead bury the dead. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Are we going and just checking off Friday, or are we like grinding, following, You know, and that's what I'm talking about the going all the way back to the desire to overrule judgment is going to give you that false report. I'm talking about the not TikTok, but being at the tent of meeting, watching, smelling, learning, assisting, partnering. Let me just a little bit in the future. If you want to get married, you're going to have to be a little bit more than a disciple.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going. Right? He's got to do a little bit more than learn my ways. He has to apply them. He has to assist them. He has to make room for them. He has to allow for expansion. He has to assist the agenda. This is king. This isn't weird. This is kingdom.
Yeah.
He's calling us to co-create. I think he might want us to learn how to at least assist him first. Because if you can't assist him, you're not going to be able to co-create when you become the owner of it.
Yeah.
As a full participant. What did I start with? A crazy gospel. This is not a ticket to a place. You were called before to be a full participant in the divinity of who he is. That's going to require a lot more than watching from afar, trying some things, and then being like, but wait!
Yeah.
I've got some ideas. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That leaves, well, never mind. I don't know. Did that kind of tie it together?
Okay.
Because I felt like there was like four things going on. So we're going to become assistants. How powerful is that? Anybody know the administrative assistant concept, Ellen? What's the calling? It's help me. It's I have to know, she has to know more than I know. Because she's got to be two steps ahead of me if she actually wants to assist the agenda. I'm talking about that kind of relationship with Yahweh to where you're aware because of the word before that you know what's going to happen two steps from now to be able to assist his agenda on this earth. Okay? Do you feel or see the difference between disciple and assistant in the authority that he's giving you? And I believe that he will continue to give us that authority, walk in that role, the more we follow the odd spirit, the different spirit in Caleb, and understanding how Joshua, from his youth, just did a lot more than follow. Amen?
Yes.
Before! If it gets hard. I was looking for you, Gabe. If it gets hard, it's lie! There was a word before. That word is going to catapult you to become an assistant. Not subjected to. Not under. I mean, how far removed now is believer?
Yeah.
I have faith. I believe.
Yeah.
To disciple, getting close, and then assisting his ways. It's absolutely powerful. But it's going to require movement. It's going to require tenacity. It's going to require, you got to get it. Because an assistant, you apply. You're working. You're getting tilled. You're getting worked. You're laboring. Not by work. You know what I mean by that. I'll keep going if you don't stand up or get up here. Before.
I feel like this is like a new operating system that we just got upgraded to.
Yeah.
It's like Kingdom Heirs 3.0.
When there's Kingdom Heirs 25.
I don't know how to follow that really at all.
Before you gave all your money away tonight. Before you tithed, he told you what to do. Before you were like, but wait, let's see if this works.
That's kind of what I wrote down. How many times should we have just said yes to Yahweh in our finances instead of like needing a report from him or for I guess before him?
Mm-hmm. And the report's only gonna
confirm your own belief anyway.
That's exactly the same thing I got here. Your own strategy will confirm what you already know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was super good. This is just one next step forward. I feel like I don't even know what to say really. I feel like that is something I'm going to need to like listen to this podcast like every week to kind of position myself correctly to go to send myself like into the week.
You know what you're doing on movie night.
Yeah. It's so easy to detour with like life and to kind of get lost in all of it. So I feel like this is just like a reset button every week that I need to push for myself. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but I feel like this is a new thing for me to see differently. To not only believe the things that I don't believe for myself, but like that it is there and that there is a lie that I've been living, that it's a lie.
Why?
It's a lie. I had some stuff I was going to talk about, but I think I'm just going to pass the bucket. But I want us to really just think through what Yahweh is saying tonight and really take account of your thoughts as they come and try to reconcile those thoughts against what was released tonight.
We just sorry. Thinking of Mom tonight and the word released as like her being a literal portal and that being a living word. That there was a word before. So I think that probably goes without saying, but letting that living word become alive and like talk to you about all the things that he had, that he would say before. I felt like tonight that portal was literally like rewriting DNA.
Yep, it is.
So I'm having a hard time stepping out of that to be able to use English to speak to the magnitude of what you just released. How do you thank someone for like being a portal for heaven to rewrite your DNA? But I want us as a family to be encouraged to what Megan sent us in of that we could miss it. That it requires us to, it requires our full, our awareness, not making it common, but recognizing what's happening in the spirit even right now. That he can rewrite your DNA before life, before your first breath, before what was handed down to you, before, so that we can just continue to be fully like equipped to sustain that movement, to totally activate, that we could have, that we could engage that word to activate a 3-day rule anointing. That by Sunday we are giving a report of transformation. and again on Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever 3 days is after that, that things are rapidly like expediting, that living word doesn't die, but we just lose track of it. Or we stop paying attention, so then we treat it as common, so then it just dies out, versus like, what was the word before this? What was the word before this? What was the word before this? What about in this? What about over here? Like, letting that word continue to rewrite, to activate, that we're not subject to. Then she just gave us like liberty in everything. That you're not subject to anything now. You're not subject to your history. You're not subject to your parents. You're not subject to your grandparents. Excuses to your cookies. To like, that if there's a word.
Yeah.
Mom, how do we thank you for, like, how do you.
Do it.
Yes. The greatest, of course, things is to obey, to move from that place and to engage that portal continuously. I had no idea that there was something beyond disciple. So thank you for allowing us to send you to be that forward observer, to return back and have such a bigger perspective. Even going back, like the scrutiny and the opposition to going first. When no one had done the 3-day rule before, to lay that groundwork for us to follow in, to actually see transformation in us and in ours. So we're going to just do it.
Thank you for listening to this message from Kingdom Heirs International. If you have received insight and revelation with this message, we invite you to claim that revelation by trading on the trading floor with this ministry. You can do that at kingdomheirsflag.org. Thank you.